Welcome to the Graveyard Girls podcast with Amelia and Natasha. Hello.
Hello.
It takes a while.
Oh, okay. I can't see it, so in my defense, I didn't know.
I know, I press and then it's like, it takes a good 2 seconds, 3 seconds for it to come on. Okay.
Okay.
Hello.
Welcome to a new episode.
Yes.
And it's another Midsummer Murders themed one today.
Yes, another joint episode.
So basically, for those of you that don't know, it's any sort of cases that fit into the traditional Midsummer Murders theme, because over here in the UK we have a crime program called Midsummer Murders, in which a suspicious amount of people die in a very small village.
Yes, you wouldn't want to live in this village, yeah. I don't think. It's very picturesque, but the chances of you dying are
high. Surprised there's any villages left.
Yeah.
So basically we've looked for little crimes that fit into that sort of category. Sometimes it's people that have come from outside. Mm-hmm. It's like in the series, in the TV programme, where sometimes a lot of people come from London and stuff, and then this is their home, and yeah, they bring a life of crime with them.
It's because it's London. They're Londoners.
So anything that sort of fits into that category, or looks like it could be in a Midsummer Murders episode, anything that sort of fits into that, I think we're going with. So we've done a few of these now, so if you enjoyed this one, we have already done a few, so if you want to go back and have a little look for them. But I just enjoy doing this sort of type of thingy and presenting a little case to each other, so yeah, got rolling with it. Do you want to go first?
Yes, because you went first last week, I think. Or whenever... You went first. Mine is quite small and I'm very suspicious. I don't think you've done this.
Okay.
But every time I keep reading the name, I'm like, have you done it before? You worried I have.
To be fair, a lot of people had the same name back then, so.
You've not done Sydney Leeson, have you?
No.
Oh, thank God. So I was just like, she's not done it. No, she's not done it.
It's really hard now as well, because we've done quite a few episodes, and some of them we haven't named them the names of the people.
I know, and then it's
given
just
a
like...
really obscure title, and then I'm like, oh no, what was in this episode?
I'm just like, that episode. Okay, so this one is very local to us.
Oh.
Sydney Leeson is Leicester's oldest unsolved murder.
How have I not found this already?
That's why I was just like, surely she's done it.
Yeah, I haven't found this one.
It's very short.
Okay, that's
There's
fine.
Only, like, regurgitated the same information. Okay. And everywhere I look, so I was just like, okay.
There's not much. This is probably why it's unsolved.
Yes. So, I'll tell you about it. So, he was a 75-year-old widow.
Oh, no.
Who was known to be a good Samaritan. Often befriended... Often befriended homeless people and listened to other people's troubles.
Oh, so I feel he like was this a is good... already making it. He was like the perfect target for a criminal.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I think he was... There is a picture of him as well, because this was the 60s that he died.
Oh.
I was just like,
poor little old man.
Yeah. As he was a widower, he lived alone on Sweetbriar Road, and he wouldn't let anyone into his home unless he knew them.
Okay.
And considering there was no sign of a break-in into his home, he likely knew his killer.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Or at least invited them in.
Yes. So in the late evening of Monday the 13th of September 1965, so not that long
ago. That's the year my dad was born.
Okay.
What month was it, sorry?
September.
Oh, yeah, my dad was only a couple of months old.
Oh.
It wasn't him.
I should hope not. So the perpetrator most likely knocked on Sydney's door, and whether he was expecting company or not, he probably opened the door. Whether this person stayed for a while or attacked Sydney straight away, we will never know.
Okay.
Sydney was attacked with a vase on his head, then repeatedly stabbed.
Oh.
He was hit with so much force, his dentures was forced into the back of his mouth. Ouch. And asphyxiation was
I can't do it now. I know it in my head.
It was a factor in his death.
Yep.
Yeah. Moving on.
No, that's not right. I'm not even going to attempt it.
I can read it.
But I can read it in my head.
Yeah.
It was a contributing factor.
Yes, you did it. Sydney fought back, most likely leaving scratches on his attacker.
Oh.
The attacker then used a screwdriver to prise open a drawer where Sydney kept his money.
So So are we going with robbery as motive?
Yes, and this is another factor that Sydney knew his attacker, as they knew where the money was because there was nothing else disturbed.
Okay. Either that or they got it out of him before they killed him.
Yeah. Sydney was left in a pile of his own blood in his hallway, and for nearly 60 years his murder has gone unsolved.
Oh.
That's literally all I could find.
Oh.
Yeah.
Whereabouts did he live?
Sweetbriar Road. That's not... It's somewhere in Leicester. It's not too far, I think. I think I've heard of it.
I've vaguely...
Is it, like, near town?
Because I'm just thinking, like, where it was. Like, what would it have been?
Near Westcote and near Rowley Fields. So it's okay. Just literally on the way to town. Hold on, let me see. Yeah, so just on the outskirts of town.
I wonder if they had any suspects at the time.
Didn't say.
Because it might have been that they might have had a suspect, they just couldn't pin it on them.
Maybe.
Interesting. I feel sorry for him. Why attack a little old man? He seems really sweet as well.
Yeah. They stole £23.
Is that it?
Yeah. In the...
it is a decent amount. It's not that much. It's like £100.
Yeah.
Oh. All that, are we like, thinking they intended to kill him?
I don't...
Or was it like, I don't know, they hit him a bit too hard? Oh, no, actually, to be fair, if he was stabbed as well, that's a bit overkill.
Yeah, repeatedly.
It? If he was, like, just hit in the head, you could say you accidentally pushed him over in the process.
Yeah.
He banged his head.
But then...
It sounds a bit personal, doesn't it?
A bit overkill, yeah. So, I think there was a vase full of flowers. That's how I read
probably
it.
Probably stun him first.
Yeah, and then stabbed him repeatedly. But I'm not sure where the force was so much that his dentures went to the back of his throat. It's either maybe the vase.
I suppose he could have either fallen forward or fallen backwards. Back, yeah, and then and that. It's like forced it.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. It just sounded a bit personal, doesn't it? And I wonder if maybe the robbery thing was a distracting thing.
No, I think money. I think the money was the aim.
Yeah, but surely if he's got a whole house of stuff for you, if you're willing to murder someone, you take more than £23.
Unless there was so much noise that they were like, got to get in and out.
Maybe. But I feel like it took a bit of time to stab him repeatedly.
Yeah, I don't know. It's
quite unusual, isn't it?
Especially for, like, what, he's 75?
Yeah. He still put up a good fight, though. Yeah, he always lived on his own.
But,
he's a widower, wasn't he?
Since he was a widower, yeah.
Oh.
I know.
I don't like that one.
No, I don't like that one.
Oh, I feel sorry for him.
Well, I was kind of like, I'll go a bit local, and now I'm just like, oh, I've made it very sad.
Yeah, it's a bit sad. I'm not going to lie, mine doesn't really get any better. I should probably do a trigger warning. It gets quite graphic quite quickly.
Okay.
Okay. Do you want me to just, like, jump into it?
Okay.
Okay, I've given you a trigger warning. Okay. So this is the Winscombe murder of 1868.
Okay.
Okay. In 1868, Winscombe was a quiet village in North Somerset. Okay. A 13-year-old boy by the name of John Wilkins had finished school and had now taken up work in a local farm owned by Mr. Henry Hancock. On Friday of the 13th...
I'm very suspicious. Okay.
Okay. Why?
I don't know if it's the child going to die or he's going to find someone who's dead and it's Friday the 13th. So you're just like, ooh, Friday.
Okay. So on Friday the 13th, John was busy out in the fields trying to scare away birds from the newly sown cornfields.
So he's been a scarecrow.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Out of nowhere, a tall young man would strike John down. Okay. With a large head stake. He would then take out a large pocket knife and nearly cut his head completely off. Okay. I did say it got quite graphic quite quick. So, nearly... decapitated poor John.
For the 13-year-old?
Yeah. I know, not very nice. The murderer then made his way into the nearby village of Banwell, where he knocked on the door of the local sergeant.
With the head?
No, not with the head. Okay. He's left it behind.
Okay.
With the intention of stating that he wanted to confess to the crime and hand himself in.
Okay.
However, the door wasn't answered by the sergeant, as he was out on duty. Instead... the door was answered by a little old lady by the name of Mrs. Royan. Okay?
I don't like this episode.
There's a bit of a twist in it. You'll like it.
She's going to kill him.
No, okay. I really like this lady. Okay? She was there as she'd helped look after the house for the sergeant. So I think she was sort of a bit of a housekeeper, but may have also lived there.
Yeah,
I couldn't find
out
the specifics.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. She invited the murderer in for tea and said that he could wait until the sergeant came back.
Okay, does she know that he's murdered someone?
Not yet.
Okay.
The murderer would introduce himself as a Mr. Alexander Holmes, the son of Colonel Holmes, who is currently living back over in Ireland, but he was quite an important man at the time, okay? Alexander went on to explain that he didn't live with his family due to the fact he'd suffered from fits, and his family had placed him into the care of a local farmer, Edwin Godfrey, who had...
How old is he?
20... Well, it was a bit sketchy. Some were saying late teens, others were saying early 20s.
Okay.
Okay, but obviously he's got his fits, so I feel like maybe he can't be left on his own.
Yeah.
Okay. But more will come out later. I shall explain. Don't worry. Okay. So he'd been placed into the care of local farmer Edwin Godfrey, who owned a farm in another nearby village but called Bridgewater.
Mm.
Alexander had escaped from the farm. He then went on to explain how he'd walked around all morning looking for a perfect victim. Then when he saw 13-year-old John all by himself, he knew he was the one he was going to kill. So very calmly explaining this to the little old lady.
I think this, yeah, she's going to do the appropriate response.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mrs. Royson kept Alexander talking.
Yep.
And he wept as he told her about his terrible crime. She then continued to make him hot drinks and provided him with food.
Yeah.
Okay. He would go on to tell her where he had hidden the weapons and where he'd washed his bloodied hands in the stream. The constable later arrived and took him away to the station. Alexander willingly confessed again and told them about where the body had been left, so led them to the body.
Mm.
So little old lady, saving the day.
Mm.
The mangled and mutilated body of poor John was found in the field not far from a road, lying in a large pool of blood. The inquest was held on the 16th of March, and Mrs. Royden and the police... Sergeant explained how Alexander had confessed to the crime.
Mm-hmm.
The local doctor had examined the poor body of John and spoke of the horrors of his injuries. He then explained how he'd spoken to the lunatic, as they obviously that's the word they used at the time. Sorry, how he'd spoken to the lunatic and how the lunatic had told him that 2 to 3 years ago his father had spoken of putting him in an asylum, and how Alexander had wished that that was the case and that that had happened.
Mm-hmm.
The coroner felt that Edwin Godfrey, so the man who had taken him in, was just as responsible and to blame for the lunatic being set at large. Okay?
Oh, okay, that's not fair.
Okay. Alexander was found guilty and held as a criminal lunatic.
Mm.
Right. The farmer, Edwin Godfrey, was also prosecuted on the grounds of having taken charge of a dangerous lunatic without a licence. Now, at this time...
Oh, you could have a licence for a lunatic?
Yeah, but if you took someone in that was mentally ill, they either were supposed to go into an asylum. I did a little bit of digging. You're either supposed to put them into asylum, or if they're not yours by birth, if you agree to take them on, you have to notify...
Did he the know? Authority.
I feel like the colonel just dumped him.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why he didn't.
He's just like,
also,
oh, I need some work for my son. Yeah, but if he didn't know that he was insane.
I feel like it would have been quite obvious. Because looking at the thingies I managed to find at the time, I think the colonel did a runner because his son was that much of trouble.
Oh, okay.
That he was... And I feel part of it was probably caused by his illness. I'm going to say fit, so possibly epilepsy.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't specify, but I wonder if that's what we would class it as today.
But I think fit back then could have been literally... Anything. Just been like, oh, stop.
An outburst of behaviour. Yeah. So, obviously it was a crime then. So Colonel Holmes did pay the fine for Edwin Godfrey, so he didn't actually go to prison.
Okay, thank God.
Okay. Alexander would live out his days in Broadmoor, dying in 1917. So in total, he served 49 years.
Ooh, that's a long time.
It is a long time. He actually lived quite a long time in prison. Yeah. But yeah, the little old lady saves the day.
Yeah.
Because when I first heard it, I was like, oh no, there's a little old lady at the door. She's going to be the next victim.
No, I think she did the right thing. Keep him calm.
But I think this is why we should have little old ladies working in the police service. Because I feel like they uncover everything. Like, they're just like, oh, sit down. I'll make you a cup of tea. Like, she made him lunch and everything. And he was just crying in the corner.
Oh, God.
But all the things he's done. And she's like, made him a sandwich. Made him some tea. She's like, oh, you just sit down and we'll wait for the constable. And
yeah, what's that word? They're like, you wouldn't expect that they're like in with the police.
Well, they're not really threatening,
no,
are they?
So
maybe
so you
like,
let
they're
your
just
guard down.
You feel comfortable talking to them.
Mm.
But at the same time, like, they're always the ones, like, if you look at the whole Miss Marple thing, they're the ones that solve all the crimes.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, I think more police services need to employ like little old ladies, even if they did them as volunteers.
Mm. Like,
just
pay them.
No, but do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I know.
If they wanted to do it in the spare time, like as a volunteer, like a charity sort of thing, like just get them into prison so like people have little old ladies to chat to. They especially also won't be lonely.
Yeah, and they might remind the criminal of their own grandma and then they're like, oh, I'm so sorry.
And it helps the grandmas. They don't go mad by not having anything to do. They're using their brains.
Or the grandma is the killer.
Yeah, plot twist. Yeah. But yeah, so I feel like poor Alexander, I don't think he necessarily intended to murder anyone. I feel like maybe he'd been ill for a long, long time and maybe he suffered from a few mental health conditions. I wonder if this fits, possibly epilepsy, but I also wondered if like schizophrenia was an issue.
Maybe, yes. But he did go out that day with the...
Yeah, no, but I'm saying like if he'd been taken care of...
He wouldn't have killed.
I don't think he was naturally a murderer.
Take someone's head off is pretty...
No, I mean, like, I don't think he was born bad. I think his illness made him do it. Like, I don't think it was really a choice, if that makes sense. Yeah. I think he was so mentally ill that it, like, it kind of controlled him in a way.
Mm.
I don't think it was something he really wanted to do. I think his illness sort of spurred him on, like, maybe played tricks with him and got him to do things. Because I think he'd been in quite... From what I could work out, he'd been in quite a lot of trouble for other things.
Mm.
And I think he... If he'd been placed in the care of the other guy, it was seen as he wasn't safe to be left on his own.
Yeah.
And from the impression, like, from the coroner's inquest and stuff that I sort of got, it was a case of he wasn't supposed to be let out of his sight. And the fact that he had explained to the old lady that he escaped, I feel like he would have been restrained a lot of the time on that other farm. Like, he's been kept there. Like, you can't leave. You're not safe to leave. So, like, in all reality, he probably should have been in an asylum. So, either, one, the colonel should never have dumped him.
No.
Godfrey in the first place. But also, he should have, like, put him in an asylum. But then I'm wondering, did he think leaving him with Godfrey was a nicer option than having him locked up in an asylum all the time? I don't know. It's a bit hard without having more from the father, but also it's a bit shitty, though. He left his
son behind. I can't control you, so you go in.
This person can instead.
Yeah, and...
Mm. But yeah, obviously, I mean, they did for so long, but yeah, then he made a runner for it, and yeah, poor John, just being a scarecrow in the field. It reminded me of your case that you did, that was it the Charles one?
Yeah.
Where he was near a hedge, and I'm just in a field, and I just thinking, yeah, poor little John, he's had his head almost cut off.
It's a child.
Yeah.
We went for different ends of the scale this time.
Yeah.
A child and an old man.
Yeah.
We do all.
Yeah, I told you it did get quite graphic quite quickly. I didn't really know how else to write it.
Me neither.
There wasn't much on it. I was just like, I'm going to have to go straight into the bludgeoning, straight the word.
Yeah, that's why I was just like, he dies and then that happens. And then I was just like, okay.
But yeah, I thought that was interesting as well about that being charged with, in charge of a lunatic without license.
So, oh, you have a license? Oh, yeah, perfectly fine.
But I think it was more it applied to people where they weren't the actual family members, because it was just presumed at the time if you knew the person was there, you either take care of them yourself as a family and then they commit crimes and they go into prison, or you would have them committed to an asylum. But if you pass them off to another, it's like almost adopting, if that makes sense, is the best way to kind of describe it. And yeah, basically, if you take on this other person, you're supposed to... I don't think it's a license as in, like, a driving license. You don't get, like, a little card or something. But, like, you have to apply. I think it's either to the local doctors or something to say,
I'm in care, care of this mentally person.
Unstable person.
Mm.
But, obviously, well, they just called lunatics then. Whatever it was you did, you're a lunatic, so...
You're a lunatic.
Yeah.
The moon affects you.
Yeah. So, yeah, basically, that was that. So, I can't say short and sweet. It was short.
Short, not so sweet. I don't like it.
Yeah. But yeah, I just, when I was reading about it and when I heard about the little old lady, I was like, oh no.
Mm.
But yeah, she ended up being sort of the hero, if you like.
So that is a moral of the story. Like, if someone is a bit crazy, just kind of remain calm.
Yeah, I do. I don't know if you've ever seen the TV programme Father Brown and this Mrs. McCarthy.
Kind of. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, anyone out there, that if they have watched it, Mrs. McCarthy, she's always getting involved. She always helps solve the crime because she's like sticking her nose into things. But also, like, she gets stuff out of people. I feel like this little old lady, like, that was her. And she had kind of helped solve the crime. I just feel like she was so calm about everything.
I think that's what you need to be.
Don't worry, dear. Come and sit down and have a cup of tea. And, like, he just ends up spilling everything out. And because she doesn't react to it. Yes,
that's the thing.
He's like, he just keeps talking. And she'd be like, oh, it's okay. Like, she's doing a knitting in the corner.
Well, I think that's what they say, isn't it? Because I remember doing, like, a self-defense class. And it's like, if, like, nothing... that you're doing is working, just like don't react. Yeah. And then it's the reaction that they feed off. So if you don't react, and then they're not going to...
Yeah, they're like, what? It confuses them almost.
So then they're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think that... that situation, maybe don't react. Mm. And that's the thing that's going to save you.
But yeah, so a little old lady saved the day. So more than just a cleaner. Maybe she'd done it before and that's why that sergeant let her live there.
Yeah, she was.
But yeah, I do feel like she was a bit of a Miss Marple type.
Mm. I'm picturing her as the... Who's the woman who lives with Sherlock Holmes?
Oh,
Mrs...
Oh my God, that's really going to annoy me.
That woman. That's who I'm picturing.
Yeah,
she's just like a live-in... Not nanny, a live-in housekeeper.
Yeah, effectively, yeah. But yeah, so no. She saved the day.
She did. She did.
I mean, a bit late for poor John, but you know.
I mean,
at least he did hand himself straight in straight away, which is why I feel like he never intended, like he didn't actually really want to kill anyone. It's not like he did it and went on the run. Like he murdered him straight away and immediately went running to, found the nearest police officer. Like he literally ran to the police officer. Just
go to the police officer and be like, I have urges.
Yeah, but maybe. I feel like maybe, because he'd obviously wandered around all morning and he'd passed other people who he hadn't killed.
Mm. So, he's looking for the perfect.
Yeah, he's looking for the perfect one. So, but in a weird way, like I said, was he trying to like stop himself? Like he just explained it in a funny way.
I didn't try very hard.
Well, no, there's a child without a head. If he's mentally ill,
I know.
He might not be able to control it. But and then, like I said, as soon as he'd done it, he'd realised what he'd done. He went running straight away to the sergeant. It was a little old lady who answered the door.
Mm-hmm. Don't like it.
No, it is. It was very graphic. Like it's a bit overkill. But I do still feel a little bit sorry for him because I don't think
Remind me of an episode of Criminal Minds, of a very young Anton Yelchin who was playing a character who like had urges to kill people. So he went to the FBI and he's just like, I have these urges and like I don't want to act on them.
Yeah, I'm warning you.
It's like I can't remember how it ended. I think he might have harmed himself because that was the only way he could get the help he needed.
Yeah. But no, I do feel a little bit sorry. Obviously he did kill poor John and like John was like completely innocent in it, but also I feel like someone should have taken better care of him in the first place. Like he needed help. I think
it could have been prevented.
Yeah.
And not on his part.
Yeah.
He's obviously not in control of his...
Himself, yeah.
But he's control in some parts.
I don't think he's a natural born killer. I don't think he wanted to kill. No. The fact that he immediately handed himself in would suggest to me, like, it's not something he wanted to do.
It was a very big cry for help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I guess that's it.
I don't like
it. I know, it's a bit dark.
I don't like it.
It made for a good story, though.
Yeah.
Don't
like it.
I know, a bit dark. In the meantime,
keep creeping
and we'll keep digging.
I don't like it.